broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This is indeed hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use for June 26th in the year of our Lord 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, my fellow Americans, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property. Welcome, Kurt Crosby.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And a quick warm welcome to our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back, my friend.
Good to be with you, gentlemen. Happy to be here.
The reason we're introducing everyone so quickly is we're going to do a recap of the previous broadcast, Friday's show, a little later in the show. Today, we take to the airwaves with extreme sadness and celebration at the same time. I know that sounds like it makes no sense, but hear us out for a second. Rest in peace. Joyce Riley died peacefully on June 25th, 2017. Our good friend, a well-known patriot, rest in peace, dear Joyce Riley. She passed away yesterday peacefully, is from what we understand. She struggled with cancer over the last couple of years. She was a good friend. We carried her three-hour radio broadcast Monday through Friday, the Power Hour, on our radio network. She did a great job, talked about a lot of things. We've been her good friend for a long time. She also ran the Power Mall, a well-known online store for patriots with books and videos and health foods and a whole lot more. And she did a tremendous job. We first got wind of Joyce Riley literally 25 years ago. She was being interviewed by Chuck Harder and many others. That's where we first learned about her. We got in radio, started our own talk show. It was called Your Business then. Making items of interest your business, talking about the news. But it's the same show as Liberty Roundtable Live. It just had a different name at the time. And long story short, we used to interview Joyce Riley about her whistleblowing in government, talking about her issues with the Gulf War syndrome stuff, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and the one of the things that was so great about her is we called her Nurse Joyce Riley at that time. And, you know, Nurse Joyce Riley would basically, she had great experience with the whole Gulf War syndrome and great details when it came to all that kind of stuff, just because she had lived it and she knew all these people there. And, you know, she was many times a guest host on the For the People radio program, as well as others. That's For the People with Chuck Harder at that time. She did so many good things to, I guess you could say, encourage us as well as so many others to see if we could make a difference. And, you know, Joyce Riley is, you know, Sheriff Mack basically penned a little, a nice little thing about her and called her a warrior for liberty, a warrior for freedom. And you know, I'm convinced that she'll continue in that effort on the, you know, where she is now. And we, hats off to her and her, with her, for her efforts that were stellar. And we continue to expect that same kind of thing from Nurse Joyce Riley and say, rest in peace, you know. Great lady. You know, it was fun for me to get to know her. Sam and I got to go there to her home there in the Missouri area. You know, wonderful place where they have their headquarters with the Power Mall and all these other things. All, you know, some folks would call it the compound or something like that. And yet, you know, she She really had a wonderful home there with great people around her, surrounding her, that supported her and worked with her, both employees and friends alike, and then, of course, all the listeners. There were many times that we, well, Sam, you know, and both of us have appeared with her as well as, right along beside her in different places. Especially, it was fun to go to her home and see her there and be with her at, you know, in action, I guess you could say, in her studio and that kind of thing. But we will miss Nurse Joyce Riley, or you would say the head of the Power Hour, Joyce Riley. As far as I understand, that'll continue on. There's some new great folks that have been her supporters for a long time that will be taking care of business, if you will. And we just couldn't be, well, sadder about what has happened. We kind of expected things simply because she's been dealing with this problem for quite some time, cancer, and yet she's battled on, battled forward, and done great things. I was reading a little tribute to her by Sheriff Mack yesterday that just came in after her passing, and this was what he wrote. He said, "It's with deep sadness that I learned today of our friend and voice for freedom, Joyce Riley, entered eternity this Sabbath day, Sunday the 25th of June, 2017. I had a special relationship with this good lady. Good lady, and I will never forget her kindness and friendship. She was an angel of mercy and a warrior for freedom. Don and I," that's Sheriff Mack's wife, "Don and I both love Joyce very much. She will be sorely missed, but we know we will see her again." Signed, Richard and Don Mack.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to chime in and follow up the Sheriff Richard Mack's comments. And I just wanted a few other people to make their comments first. Kurt to give his kind of take, and Richard Mack to give his take. And, you know, the problem is Sam usually needs to learn to talk a little less and listen a little bit more and stuff like that. Kurt reminds me of that often, and he's right on that. But as a talk show host, you know, that's what we do, is we talk. And so in my defense, that's just what I am and what I do. But he's right. I need to work on that. And so I wanted other people to kind of sound off first a little bit on this. Joyce was a personal friend of mine. You know, what's fascinating to me in the talk business, most talk show hosts seem to be at war with one another. By the way, I'm not at war with any of them. I think there's not enough of us, and I think we need to work together more and more and more, but it's very difficult to do so. But Joyce was one of the few that did not look at our radio broadcasts, even though we were on at the same time of day even. But we did not look at our broadcasts as competition. We looked at our broadcasts as getting the word out to more people and to unite together to do more good. And we worked on the Constitutional Sheriff stuff together often. We shared news behind the scenes. I would call Joyce. Joyce would call me and would share news topics and tidbits and tips. We literally both have our own news services that provided us news for our talk shows, etc. We would share our summaries with Joyce. She would share her summaries with us. When she came to Utah one time to speak, Julie, my wife, and I sat down with her for lunch. That was 24 years ago. We've been literally great friends ever since. I mean, she would chat with me about news and politics. She would chat with my wife about quilting. They're both quilters, and they love to quilt. And so, you know what? We were family friends. And Kurt and I and several others went to visit her at her home. And she was so kind and so genuine and so professional. And anyway, rest in peace, Joyce Riley. Our prayers are with you. And I have no doubt that Joyce Riley is helping us fight for the sacred cause of liberty from the other side. No doubt. We believe in God, and her spirit lives on. She is with her Lord. And, you know, we had a fun relationship. She was not a Mormon. She was not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And what's kind of funny is she used to come up to me and try to bait me a little bit. And she'd be like, "Hey, how come you Mormons won't let me go in your temple, Sam?" And I would come back and say, you know what, Joyce, that's just not correct. The Lord sent me to help teach you the gospel of Jesus Christ and help you qualify to enter our temples. Are you ready to get started? And we had that kind of relationship where we would banter back and forth. We genuinely cared about God, family, and country, and life, liberty, and property together. And you know what? She was one of the best people ever. And, you know, I know there's rumors about everybody saying, oh, they're this, they're that. You know what? We found Joyce to be a hardworking straight shooter to the best of our ability. And I talked to her a lot, a couple of times a week for literally years. We used to interview her on the radio. That's how we got our start with Joyce. Anyway, our prayers are with her and her family and her employees and all those who feel the same way we do. Anyway, that's enough on that. When we come back, we'll have Lowell Nelson get a chance to speak on that. And then I got another, I don't know what you call it, a Molotov cocktail, virtually speaking, coming to the mix. We'll tell you about that, too. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. But, you know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us, too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, talking about Joyce Riley. Rest in peace. She died yesterday peacefully on the 25th of June, and our prayers are with her and her family, and we just talked about a little bit of memories and experiences that we've had with Joyce over the years. We've known her for a long, long time. We've known her as soon as we got into radio, 25 years ago or so. Lowell Nelson, you want to make a comment on Joyce before we move on here?
Well, Sam and Kurt, I've just been looking at the PowerOurNation.com website. I was not acquainted with her, but I can tell from the family photos and all the events that are pictured there that she had a tremendous impact on a lot of people, and it was a good, wonderful impact, like you say, in the nursing, the field of nursing and in the field of liberty, you know, in working for greater liberty. So I just, you know, wasn't my opportunity to know her, but I certainly listened to her on the Power Hour for a number, you know, quite a few times over the past few years since I became more of a, you know, more acquainted with you and so forth. But wow, what a wonderful lady, and I appreciate what all that she's been able to do for the sacred because...
Now, there's a man taking over her show now since she's passed away by the name of Daniel Brickman, and he runs what's called the Power Hour Nation. That's a change of name that he's kind of applied to that, and we used to carry Joyce's show. We're not carrying Daniel's show, so that's kind of an interesting little twist. We wish them well and hope things go great for them. But anyway, our prayers are with Joyce and the family, and... anyway, we don't know any funeral details or any of that kind of stuff. Hopefully, we'll get more soon on that. Now, I mentioned kind of a Molotov cocktail, virtually speaking. And I don't know what's going on with these talk show hosts, Lowell Nelson. As you know, Sam and Kurt have been preaching peace and prosperity in the American way. We want to make America great again. We want to restore the republic. We reject a revolution but want to stand peacefully for the greatest country on the planet. And our goal is restoration, using the checks and balances the founders provided. And using the supreme law of the land. And we believe if we turn to our God, family, and country, and our goal is to protect life, liberty, and property, we believe the media is one of the great ways to peacefully restore the republic, etc. However, Michael Savage says we're on the brink of a civil war. Now Alex Jones jumps in and says, quote, get ready for civil war. Do you want to respond to this, Lowell? I think a lot of these hosts are jumping too quickly into the war mentality. We've become a warlike people, and I really reject these ideas that, I mean, if a civil war is upon us, if America is at that or that much at odds, which I pray it's not, I know that things are getting divisive, I get it, but I would pray that we would stand for peace, not jump to the, are you ready for war? We're going to a civil war. I mean, we may get there, but I pray we don't, and I'll do everything I can to prevent it because I know this. It's not a pleasure cruise, ladies and gentlemen. I know the Patriots seem to be itching for a fight, and so does the government. But I'm telling you, back down. Stand down. Now, some would say, well, Sam, you're just faint-hearted. You don't have a heart for the real fight. And my response is, no, I think the real Patriots are humble. The real Patriots will do what they have to do when the time comes to defend themselves. But when you read books about war, there's always a guy nicknamed Deacon in the middle. And the guy named Deacon is the guy that's peaceful, that doesn't want war, and when all the warriors are getting ready they're all full of vibrato and they're babbling at this and they're talking about that and they're bragging and boasting about their evil deeds to women and they're taking the fight to the enemy and everything. You know, Deacon's the religious guy over there that's like, man, I don't want to fight. This is horrible. I don't want to be here. I want to be back with my brothers and my mother and my sister or my wife or whatever. And at first they mock Deacon and they're like, Deacon's just a wimp. He doesn't understand conquest of women and he doesn't understand taking it to the enemy. I don't want Deacon in my foxhole, man. And they kind of mock him and he just smiles and is kind to everybody and works hard and says nothing and he doesn't relish the fight at all. But then when the bullets start to fly, Deacon has an absolute steel, dedicated, concentrated, take no prisoners resolve to take care of business and defend God, family, and country. And after a while, people are like, Deacon, I'm a little scared on this next one. Can you pray for me, buddy? And Deacon's like, yeah, sure I will. Of course I will. I'm praying for all of us, gentlemen. And pretty soon it's like, hey man, Deacon, is it all right if I'm in the foxhole with you, buddy? This one, you know, I want to make it home, you know. And pretty soon they understand that Deacon's not at all backing away from the fight, and Deacon's not at all unwilling to serve his country, and Deacon's not at all afraid to do what needs to be done. He is afraid because any natural man, any person would be afraid. In their right mind, they'd be afraid. It's not about the vibrato. And pretty soon they understand who Deacon is. And Deacon's a necessarily hardened warrior, not by choice. He'll do what he has to do, but he does not delight in the shedding of blood, and he does not like conquest or power or killing or macho or whatever you want to call it, machismo attitude. He just wants to finish what needs to be done and get home to his family. And he's literally heartbroken over war in the first place because he realizes the damage that it does and the horrible consequences of war fueled by evil people on both sides. And he understands that if we could just turn to God, family, and country, that would be the real answer. I want to be one of those guys. Lowell, what do you think? These talk show hosts are really already beating the drums of war. Maybe it's unintentional. Maybe they're just trying to get ahead of the news, but I think that they're ratcheting up something they ought not do, sir.
Well, I agree with you, Sam. I hope that what they say does not become self-fulfilling prophecy. but in unfortunately, you know, it may. One thing about these talk show hosts of that fame and popularity, Alex Jones, I mean, he's so widely known. They get there because they take headlines and they, you know, they're sensational. And I think in some cases, perhaps many cases, I don't know, I don't listen to him much, but they probably sensationalize and exaggerate the headlines and exaggerate the situations in order to capture viewers and listeners. So, you know, that's what mainstream media does. They report on the sensational issues, not the, you know, one of the great things I really enjoyed about Paul Harvey NewsHour, we listened to him every single day when I was a kid growing up, you know. I love listening to Paul Harvey because he brought meaty, worthwhile news items to the program. He talked about the good things that were happening in the country, not just the sensational, terrible things. And so I think that some of these talk show hosts that are on the edge that you know, they live by the ratings they make and by the number of people listening to them. I think they are tempted to go into the sensational stories and to exaggerate, you know, that we're on the brink of civil war and stuff like that. I don't believe we are. The people with whom I associate are kind to each other. They want peace. We pray for peace. We work for peace. And the peaceful transition of power is what has been the hallmark of America. For decades and for centuries, Sam, the peaceful transition of power. And, you know, I'm very fond of going in. When I've been training our Republican Party members about their meetings, about their duties, you know, the duties of delegates and the duties of precinct chairs and vice chairs and so forth, I'll often put a picture, I'll display a picture of a scene in North Korea where they have several soldiers who are executing their fellow countrymen execution style. You know, just they're on their knees and they have a gun to their head and they execute them. Right? I mean, this is a transition of power. This is how it's done in, you know, North Korea and in other places of the world. And the reason I display that picture and talk about it is because I want them to appreciate the blessings that we have in this country, about how we're able to transfer power from one administration to the next in a peaceful way. It is such a great thing to do and to realize. I mean, I don't want them to be upset about the bickering that occurs in a meeting, right? I mean, we debate issues. Sometimes we get into heated debates, and some people walk away from that saying, well, heck, I can't stand this. It's hard, you know, and I'm here telling them, hey, this is the easy transition of power. If you want the hard, you think of North Korea. You think of, you know, other countries where dictators, they execute their opposition after they assume power. And that's not what we want to have here in America. That's not what we want. We do not want civil war. And your description of Deacon, Sam, I'll just say this one more thing.
All right, hold on. Let me take the break. We'll come back. You can finish the idea on Deacon. That's just the kind of guy I want to be in the shaping of America. I want to be absolutely a hardcore defender of the sacred cause of liberty, but I want to do it to the best of my ability in the way the Savior Jesus Christ would do it. And I know I got a lot of improvement to go. That's for sure as I follow the Prince of Peace. But Kurt's comments in seconds as well.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Well, common sense may have taken hold in the California Assembly as the speaker there last week stopped legislation that would create a single-payer health care plan in the Golden State. He placed the bill in the Assembly Rules Committee until further notice. He noted the bill is, quote, woefully incomplete. Earlier in the month, the California Senate had passed the bill knowing full well the legislation along the way was fatally flawed. During a hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Dianne Feinstein argued in favor of universities canceling speaking events when they may lead to violence. Pushing back on Feinstein was a UCLA law professor, Eugene Volokh. He argued that the First Amendment does not protect a heckler's veto. In fact, it ends up being the suppression of free speech. When you have a set group of people who come to create a disturbance, some of them even wearing masks or certain clothing, what can you do? Asked Feinstein. The answer? I think the answer is to make sure they don't create a disturbance. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low delay, crystal clear audio over the internet. AudioCompass.com. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email. LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so a lot of these talk show hosts are predicting, you almost wonder if they'll make a self-fulfilling prophecy out of we're going to civil war in America. I pray it's not true. I'm not naive to the fact that there are absolutely wars and rumors of wars and disputations, and no doubt the divisions in America are growing and the flames are being fanned by all sides, many in government as well. But I pray we're wise enough as a people. I pray that we'll turn to our God, and I pray that it doesn't happen. And I hope to be the guy nicknamed Deacon in most books, where there's always a religious guy that's humble and kind, and, well, he's an absolute get-it-done warrior if necessary. But he never celebrates it, never wants it, does his best to avoid it, endures it, with the best of them, but never delights in it. And I hope to be that kind of a guy. Lowell, you were telling a story about the guy named Deacon. And I use that because that's the name they usually call him. And it's, you know, there's different themes on it in many, many, many books. And there's examples like that in life and in reality as well. And you were going to tell us a story.
Right. You were, as you described the Deacon figure, I thought of Hacksaw Ridge. The 2016 is the movie just came out last year, biographical war drama, Hacksaw Ridge. It depicts the experiences of a fellow named Desmond Doss, who was a Seventh Day Adventist a Christian fellow who refused to pick up a rifle, and because he refused to pick up a rifle to kill people, he was, you know, thought to be a coward and he was an outcast. He got beat up. I mean, his unit just laid into him and beat him up. He got arrested on insubordination. A bunch of things. But when it came right down to it, he was up there on the Hacksaw Ridge in the Battle of Okinawa, and the Japanese had assaulted the American forces and driven them off the ridge. And he he saved 75 people that night and the next day of his own unit. And it was really great because the next day, the unit, they wouldn't go up without him. Anyway, it's a great movie, Hacksaw Ridge, and I was just reminded of the movie when you started.
Amen to that. And if we go to war, we will do what we need to do. Make no mistake about that, ladies and gentlemen. However, I want to be the guy that is brought into it not by my choice. And I want to spend my days, my airtime, my efforts, our days, our efforts. I say my because I don't want to speak for others. At the same time, I don't want to be, I want to include everyone who agrees with me. I just don't want to make it sound like everybody's got to agree with me. We want to follow the Prince of Peace, and we believe that the real answer is not more war. Okay, self-defense is another discussion. And when he saved all those people, it wasn't delighting in bloodshed. It was more of a, you know what, I don't have a good choice here. There's no good choices. I'm going to do my very best to be honorable in the least problematic defense of life and liberty. And that was the mentality of saving those people. And that's what I want to be like. Kurt, do you want to chime into this? I'm not here to attack any other talk show host, but I do want to literally blaze a trail. That may not be being talked about today is the reason for it. I want to be leaders, humble and kind and direct. And I want to really focus on, in my opinion, the real solutions. And I know it departs from the rhetoric of others, but we need to back down from these fights. We need to realize that there's one thing to discuss in the public opinion forums. There's another thing when it starts to go south in terms of moving to violence or ratcheting something up, or I want to disagree agreeably, if you will. I want to be civil. I want to be respectful, and I want to blaze a trail that I believe that many believe in, but I don't see others advocating for, at least in the public forum at this time. Your thoughts, Kurt?
You know, when I look at this, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, one thing that lets you know more about the good folks that we work with here, Lowell Nelson, for example, you can hear his sincerity, his depth of belief when you hear him explain, you know, the reasons for doing the things he does. For example, teaching these new patriots or new citizens about the transfer and the power, you know, comparing it to the communist way of, you know, at the, end of a gun, it will give you insight as to why we are here, both us and Lowell, and for our hopes for a better future and a restoration, as Sam mentioned so many times, of the greatness and the beauties that America has been blessed with. We want to, of course, remember the Prince of Peace, who, well, in all that we do, we try to follow his efforts, the Savior Jesus Christ. Some would say, well, he's no warrior for freedom or whatever, and yet, in my opinion, you won't find a greater one. This mention of Hacksaw Ridge, and there's so many other great stories that include great people that have given, well, either their all or given so much for America and the good people of the world. We hats off to them, and we hope to avoid any of these kind of things, the war and that kind of thing. But, you know, we will do the best we can if put in those situations.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, you know our stance. You know that we're blazing a trail that others aren't talking about. That's what we do on the radio. It is news the networks refuse to use, and our goal is solutions radio. Turn to your God. Turn to your family. Turn to your country. Understand how to protect life, liberty, and property. And absolutely engage yourself in a good cause everywhere you go. Would you please? That's our prayer, our hope. By the way, we need to talk about the Republican health care bill with Lowell. The bottom line is they say that, you know, we got to have this health care bill, and they created it in secret. They're really taking a page out of the Democrats' playbook on this one. There's several senators that are not pleased. The battle's on. They got a few days to debate it, and then it's supposed to really be cranked through before the 4th of July holiday. I don't think they'll get it done. They say, yeah, we will. We'll twist some arms and we'll do some things, and time will tell. But I don't think Rand Paul and Mike Lee and others are going to cave on this one unless they extract enough. And, well, who's to debate what enough is? But it's not going down the way we hoped at all, and I consider it already a promise broken, Lowell.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. And the reason I wanted to talk about that this morning, we've got two senators in Utah, one Orrin Hatch, one Mike Lee. And when I read what Orrin Hatch, you know, I'm on his mailing list, so I get emails from him. And he was trumpeting, all about this Better Care Reconciliation Act. That's what they're calling it, the BCRA, Better Care Reconciliation Act. He called it in an editorial with the Deseret News, he called it a win for healthcare in Utah. Yeah, right. It might be a win for the healthcare industry, for the insurers, maybe, but it's not a win for the citizen. He starts out his editorial saying, the U.S. Senate made a powerful statement to Utah and the nation. Increasing premiums, unaffordable care, and regulatory red tape should not be the standard of healthcare in this country. Well, you know, Sam, who gave authority to the U.S. Senate to deliberate on healthcare anyway? Can you find anywhere in the Constitution where the states gave to the central government the authority to debate health care, to deliberate on health care, to make any law whatsoever regarding health care? Well, neither can I. You know, he should be talking about the Constitution. He said he should be up there saying, look, we should not even be talking about health care in the U.S. Senate. This is not something given to, it's not authority given to the national government by the state, and we're only here to do the bidding of the state, and they didn't give us authority for that. And yet he continues on, his editorial says, Obamacare, from its very design to its botched implementation, did not stand a chance of bringing the quality care that Utahns deserve. Sam, do Utahns deserve health care? Doesn't that statement just have the ring of socialism in it? Is health care a right that you deserve? Well, I don't think so.
We talk about the protection of life, liberty, and property on this broadcast. And ladies and gentlemen, what gives us the right to your property? If we don't have a right to the fruits of your labors, then where does government get the authority to take the fruits of your labors? Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Who gave the U.S. Senate the authority to deal with and force health care on the public? Can you find such a warrant in the Constitution? Bottom line is they're out of line completely. Lol. Do Utahns deserve health care? That's a question that, in my opinion, baits a socialist reality. Doesn't it have the ring of socialism in it? Do people have the right to health care? What gives us the right to your property and the fruits of your labor? If we have that right, then we can take it. But if we don't have that right, what gives government the authority in that right? And the answer is none. We don't want to replace Obamacare. We want a full repeal of Obamacare. Better yet, lol.
That's right. We want a governor with the courage to ignore Obamacare in his state. We want a legislature with the guts to nullify every unconstitutional law that the feds send down the pike, right? I mean, that's what we really want. We want a state to stand up and be sovereign. States are supposed to be sovereign, but they feed at the trough of socialism, trying to get money back from the feds that promised all this kind of money and all this support to prop up the states. And what we really need is a state to stand up. I would really like to see a state with the guts and the courage to stand up and put the federal government back in its constitutional cage and begin taking orders from the states again, which is how it was envisioned from the beginning. So I was upset with this editorial. I'm upset with Senator Hatch for not doing what he promised he would do, which was to protect the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. He should be there helping the citizenry understand the principles of the proper role of government. But when he's up there talking about citizens deserving, you know, health care, something that is you know, if they want to earn their health care, if they want to earn property to pay for their health care, that's one thing. I'm all for that, 100%. But it's entirely another for them to ask government to steal property from my neighbor down the street so that I can take care of my health with that money.
And ladies and gentlemen, the problem here is the lie being told. First, they ran on, we're going to repeal, repeal, repeal. Then they said, as they got closer to and got elected, then it was repeal and replace, repeal and replace, repeal and replace. And now it's replace, 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 but we're going to make enough appeal to repeal to make you believe that it still has that ring or that kind of notion to it. But it doesn't. This has nothing to do with repeal. It's a flat-out replacement plan. You don't need health care Republican or Democratic style. You need it Republican style, but you still got to have it. It's choice A, choice B in the Hegelian dialectic. And as Kurt always says, I'm for choice C. You say, what is choice C? The answer is we don't want to replace Obamacare. We want a full repeal, and better yet, we want our governor to have the guts to stand up and nullify now.
And the indictment is also on the people, Sam. If it's true what Senator Hatch was saying in his editorial, which is, quote, I heard loud and clear from Utahns that coverage of pre-existing conditions and maintaining dependents until age 26 were top priorities for our family.
Well, and the sad part is it may be true, but I would hold the media responsible for a lot of that because most folks don't even have the truth about what we're really discussing, lol.
Yeah, that's for sure. So. You know, if I don't believe it's true, because I don't believe Senator Hatch has listened to the people for years anyway, but he makes this statement as though, you know, the people of Utah are just beating down his door for health care, right? I mean, that's what's being portrayed here, insinuated. But so I'm just saying, if that's true, then we absolutely have ourselves to blame. We should not be wanting to feed at the public trough like a bunch of socialists. we should want to stand independent of that. Now, do I believe he asked that question of Utahns? No, I don't. But it's up to Utahns to repudiate the socialist state. And so that's up to you and me, ladies and gentlemen, to tell our senators to just go with the full repeal. We don't want your stinking socialistic program. Just repeal the thing. Stand strong with Senator Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz.
And it all depends on how the question is asked and by whom. If Orrin Hatch asks it, he's going to ask a lot of the folks that are ensuring that he stays in power. If he asks it through the media, they're going to, you know, talk about, do you want your family to die or do you want health care? What we really should be saying is, do you want the senator to keep the promise made at election time, which is full repeal? Do you want him to keep his promise is the real question. Because they didn't ask that and do that polling when they wanted to get elected. They knew what the people wanted, and they delivered to that, and they catered to that. Now they're acting like the people want something different, and that in there or therein is the lie. We know what the people want, and the people literally elected based on their desires, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. You know, when you look at you know, these different situations we find ourselves in, the bottom line is we've got to move forward carefully and do the best we can to make it better, not worse. A tough situation.
Amen to that. But we can blaze the trail. We can set the standard of liberty, and we can work on it by understanding the proper role of limited government and our responsibilities as Americans in that proper role and our duties, our obligations to carry out an incredible stewardship, one that many people in the world have never had the blessings to have. And
so
we can do that.
Sam, thankfully, Mike Lee and Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and there's one other senator have been picking apart this health care bill, and they know what's in it. And they
Ron Johnson, by the way.
What's that?
Ron Johnson from Wisconsin.
Ron Johnson's the other one.
Ron Johnson, exactly. Thank you. And so Mike says this about the health care bill. He says, no, the Senate health care bill released yesterday does not repeal Obamacare. It doesn't even significantly reform American health care. It cuts taxes. It bails out insurance companies. It props up Obamacare through the next election. It lays out plans to slow Medicaid spending beginning in 2025, but that probably won't happen. And it leaves in place the ham-fisted federal regulations that have driven up family health insurance premiums by 140% since Obamacare was implemented.
Let's make another thing clear. One of the promises they made was to gut Planned Parenthood and quit federal or government funding for that. It only drops funding for Planned Parenthood for a year. I don't know if you know that either.
Good point. Yeah, there's 20 or 30 bullet points, and we can't go through all of them here, but, you know, just a couple more. Senator Lee, in his critique of the bill, he said, you know, at the beginning of the process, I went for a full repeal. And despite campaigning on that very thing for 8 years, my Republican colleagues disagreed. In other words, he's saying the same thing Sam just said a moment ago when Republicans, election after election, campaigned on the repeal of Obamacare, the full repeal. But when it comes time to actually pull the trigger, when they have a president in the White House who's willing to sign such a bill, hopefully he is, then they walk back their statements and say, oh, no, we didn't mean real repeal. We just meant repeal and replace, right? I mean, and so anyway, so Mike is talking about the...
But repeal's not even on the table now.
No, it's not. They're unwilling to do that. And so then Mike called for a partial repeal. Nope. Then he called for a repeal of the regulations. Nope. And then after trying many, many things, spending levels, tax credits, subsidies, corporate bailouts, and trying to get rid of those things one at a time in the current Obamacare bill, and the Republicans, these are the Republicans, they would not budge on this. You know the Dems are going to vote against the bill. But the Republicans, they want this stuff, even though they campaign on the very opposite thing. So Mike's final request on this bill was, let's include an opt-out provision. Let's amend this bill to allow people to opt out of Obamacare. Basically, he said this, which I really like. He said,
and by the way, before you get to that, if Orrin Hatch is right, nobody will be opting out. They'll love it. If Mike's right, let them opt. And the problem is it's kind of like when I ask somebody to advertise on the radio. They're like, oh, no, I don't think you have any listeners. And then I say, well, why don't you give away a motorcycle on the air? Why don't you give away a car on the air? Why don't you give away? Pretty soon they're like, oh, no, I couldn't do that. I'd go broke. Okay. How does that all work? With no listeners, you won't go broke. It's kind of a fascinating dichotomy. But the same thing is true here. Where, you know what, if Orrin Hatch is right, he has nothing to fear from letting people to opt out. Nobody will opt out in, according to the mandate that he's supposedly given, right?
Right. If it's such a good deal, then go ahead and put in the opt-out provision. Senator Hatch should welcome that provision because he's so confident that Obamacare will be so popular with the people. And so Mike Lee said this, because, quote, we should test different ideas through a cooperative, bottom-up, trial-and-error process rather than imposing this top-down partisan power plays that disrupt the lives of hundreds of millions of people at a time. And so his point is, look, the Dems 8 years ago put together this one-size-fits-all plan, and so what do we think in Republicans, that we can put together a one-size-fits-all plan as well, and we expect it to succeed when the Dems' plan is failing miserably? It's going down in flames. And so, anyway, it's a great great piece by Senator Mike Lee, and I'm glad that he and Cruz and was it Ron Wilson you said? Ron Johnson. And
Wisconsin.
And Rand Paul are standing strong on this thing. And I was scanning headlines this morning. Basically, they say that this bill is getting a lukewarm reception all across the country, meaning it's not really a very good reception is what they're really saying. And so, you know, Ron Paul commented about this thing, too. But bottom line, he said, hopefully, the Senate will reject this bill and pass a truly free market health care bill. And if by free market, basically, that's getting government out of the picture. See, you don't fix government intervention problems by more government intervention. You fix the intervention problems by getting government out of the issue. And health care is one of those issues. It's a domestic issue. It should be states that deal with domestic issues, not the central government. And so it really is something where the Campaign for Liberty and every citizen in this country should work to defeat any bill that retains Obamacare and instead encourage Congress to do a full repeal of Obamacare.
And governors to stand up and nullify now in strength of the repeal and or in place of the repeal if the good senators don't have the intestinal fortitude to get it done. Last point, Lowell Nelson was going to talk about Ron Paul interviewing Mr. Snowden. Incredible interview, by the way. We don't have time to get to it now. But all I can tell you is look up Ron Paul Snowden interview and you'll find it. You can check that out. Save that for next week or you know, whatever you think is important, Lowell. We are sorry we couldn't get to that. But our prayers are with Joyce Riley and family. We pray that we can stand for the peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we absolutely want to get government socialism out of health care yesterday. We need your help desperately on every count. Support us in every way, including financial libertyroundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure.